Hi, I'm Diana Von Glahn, the Faithful Traveler, and you're listening to the Catholic Vitamins podcast with my friends, Deacon Tom and Dee, where each week you can nourish your faith from A to Z.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith. Forget what lies behind and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Well, blessings and hello, everyone. It's Deacon Tom.
And Dee.
We're glad you're with us on another Catholic Vitamins. As a matter of fact, excuse my voice, this is sort of a momentous Catholic Vitamins. Why is that, Dee?
We are at the end of an alphabet.
Again, yes. Did you check to see how many?
I did. We're getting ready to start 15th round of the alphabet since we started this podcast.
So here's what happened. At the end of August in 2009, around the 24th, 25th, 26th time frame in that year, you and I put out a short 8 or 9 minute, hello, we're Deacon Tom and Dee, and we're thinking about doing Catholic Vitamins. And we've got a couple ideas to start the show, but we have no idea what we're going to do after that.
And some here
of the,
we are.
Some of the some of the people that we had met at the Catholic New Media Conference in San Antonio, they heard it, and some made a few comments. Then we started off with vitamin A for adoration. So I think what we're going to do is sometime around the 24th, 25th, 26th, we'll put out a new show, which will be vitamin A, and we'll tease about that a little later in the show. But for now, we're on vitamin Z, and we're doing zealousness number 2. And the reason we're doing that, D, is because we had an author speaker on our show in, I think it was 2011. His name is Tom Crogwell, and he was a very interesting guest, and he's a fascinating writer because he comes up with tremendous, mostly Catholic-themed or Christian-themed things to write about. I've just ordered two of his books. One of them is about the bones of St. Peter. Now, you would think, who could write a book of any length about the bones of St. Peter? Well, Tom's book tells about how the bones came to be, obviously, St. Peter, the first pope. And then the bones were lost, and then they were found, and then they were re-lost, refound. And now you and I know where they are because we were able to tour. We did the Vatican SCAVI tour, S-C-A-V-I. I'm not really sure.
Takes you down underneath St. Peter's.
You remember how we circled down and down and down?
Yes.
And we finally came to the area where we could look through to what was the, I'll use the word casket, that really wasn't appropriate. But they know that the bones are in there, and they are reliably believed to be the bones of St. Peter. And that area is directly underneath the altar at St. Peter's Basilica. Isn't that beautiful?
I would like to do that again, because you know how after time your things get fuzzy in your mind and you forget things. I would really like to do that tour again.
Well, I want to, this is called Prattle. We're in Catholic Vitamins. You already know it's Dee, the lovely Dee, and the deacon. And
we already know what the vitamin is. We already know who the guest is. And we are at episode 393 for the World Wide Web. And for our local radio station, KPIH 98.9, it's episode 39.
It would have been nice if we could have done the 400th show either to end this alphabet or to start the new.
It didn't quite work out that way, though.
Yeah, didn't quite. Well, dear friends, we cycled through the alphabet, and I think we sort of teased what that's about, and we'll have a tease for vitamin A later in the show. Dee, Speaking of foreign things, I have a piece of paper on my desk. It tells me the number of malicious attempts to get on our Catholic Vitamins website.
Malicious?
Yes. Total internet addresses which were blocked trying to get at Catholic Vitamins. Oh. Now, we're not a real big podcast. I mean, we're really not. But the count that I have here in front of me, can you believe this, dear listeners? 2,675 attempts from France. You know, I thought the problem with Trump was Russia, the alleged thing with Russia. 45 attempts from another IP address from Canada, and nine down at the bottom of this list, nine attempts within the U.S. to get at our website.
And these are, why is so many from France?
I have no idea. I really don't. And maybe there's some way they can mask or make this not to be correct. But we are on the World Wide Web. We've been there ever since we started Catholic Vitamins. And we have a utility called WordFence, which helps to block bad attempts getting onto our website.
Wow.
Isn't that mildly interesting?
Yes, yes.
Dear.
Oh. Oh. We're gonna have a celebration at our church hall tonight. Father Ricky's first social since he's our new pastor. He's been promoting this for weeks now. August Moon, he calls it.
Well, the moon isn't gonna be out until 7:30 or 8 o'clock. We're gonna gather after the 4 o'clock mass. And what's he going to do? He said he's going to have people teach him how to line dance.
There's going to be a little live band combo there, I guess. And he's been teasing everybody that they're going to teach him how to line dance.
Well, dear friends, as we have said on show after show after show, the reason for Catholic Vitamins is to let you know that we are in love with the faith. We believe in the orthodox truth of the Catholic faith. And we also participate in the church. We encourage you to do that as well. The last thing we need is somebody who considers himself a member but doesn't want to have anything to do with the church.
I was just going to mention Father Ricky, as you had mentioned, his mini homilies during the week.
Oh, yeah.
And how great they are.
You and I were talking about that at breakfast. He always brings a little bit of life into his homilies, things to share. And he was talking about when he was growing up, how he had a lot of learning to do. And he related that episode to the Gospels today. So, dear friends, we are Catholic, proudly Catholic, and it's Tom and Dee, and we'll be back.
When I was in college, I ended up having a lot of questions about my faith, and I ended up leaving the church. After a series of personal tragedies, I really felt a need to come home to a church, and that's when I came back to the Catholic Church. I never realized before that we get, at every Mass, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Psalms, and the Gospel. I never realized before it's all biblically based. The Catholic Church is based on the Bible. This is the church that Christ started. And we practice all the sacraments as he gave them to us. And I think that's important. I love getting up and going to church. I love going to Mass. I feel like I get to go to Mass, not like I have to go to Mass. The joy, I have joy in my spirit. I have a lightness in my spirit that I haven't had before. I love the Catholic Church with all my heart. And I can't imagine my life without it. My life is totally different now.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
We're back.
Are we? All right.
Hey, do you realize that school has begun already?
Yes.
In our town?
Here in our community.
It's crazy.
It really is, Dee. Do you remember when you and I were growing up, when we were young? What,
Yes.
10, 15 years ago.
Yeah. School didn't start until after Labor Day.
It's amazing.
And we didn't get out until almost the end of June, too, or middle of June.
Right.
Our granddaughter just started school down in the valley last week, too.
Why don't you say a word about the granddaughter that we have who's going to be going off to
talk about it right now.
We have a granddaughter who is very, very talented as a ballet performer. She can do other kind of dance, but she loves...
Her passion is ballet.
Yeah. And she's actually going to be leaving her home here in Arizona and going to Pennsylvania.
To live and go to school, go to high school this next year.
And to be in a special setting, a special home.
And then continuing with this dance program, dance training that she was, it's a continuation of a program she was in this summer back there.
It's amazing to me that this is what it's going to take, but she's committed to doing this. Mm-hmm. She loves ballet so much. We wish her well and may God bless her and her guardian angel be with her. Dee, you were talking about the fall and we already are beginning to plan on some things. I've been working a little bit with our friend Diane Duncan, who is over in another part of Arizona. She's the head of a pregnancy center, and she is also the lead person for the Rachel's Vineyard Retreats. We've talked about that on earlier Catholic Vitamins shows. I attended a Rachel's Vineyard retreat. Not that you and I have had any direct contact with abortion, but we have had a loss in the family, which was a miscarriage or stillbirth, I guess it was. Or no, it wasn't a stillbirth. The child lived for just a few seconds after. Yes. But at any rate.
She was born too early.
Yeah. So I attended this Rachel's Vineyard. Dee, you came for the concluding ceremony, and I was glad that we were together. It profoundly affected me. It changed me to have more understanding and empathy for what women go through, even though they come to the point where they know they have profoundly sinned and made a great mistake. But we have in North Central Arizona, we have a Rachel's Vineyard retreat. If you happen to be listening to us in our area or in Arizona on the World Wide Web, and you would like to partake of this, you can send an email to Tom and Dee at CatholicVitamins@gmail.com, and we'll get you the information, the flyer, and send it to you. You can even do it anonymously, and I just really support this a lot. Dee, our lady Diane Duncan that we were mentioning, that she's got like 8 or 9 years of experience leading the Rachel's Vineyard Retreat. She's going to come and speak to our little faith group.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
And that'll be in the coming weeks, so that'll be nice. Gosh, it's hard to believe that we're getting towards the end of summer, and I hate to talk that way. The days are getting shorter.
We're already moaning about how dark it's getting, early it's getting dark in the evenings.
All right, well, this is Catholic Vitamins, as we've said before, and next up, we will spend our special time with our guest, Tom Crogwell.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me." Matthew 16:24. We, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, have done exactly that. Each and every day we take up our cross with love. We are a Franciscan charismatic religious community in the Diocese of Amarillo, Texas, with worldwide apostolates of prayer, praise, and evangelization. Founded in 1972, we have 38 sisters and 6 houses. If you or anyone you know are discerning a vocation to religious life, please check out our website, www.dljc.org. That's dljc.org. And while you're there, you can send us your prayer requests, because it would be our joy to pray for you.
Well, I've said this before on Catholic Vitamins. We didn't set out to go after well-known, very successful writers or musicians. The scope of our ministry is a little bit smaller than that, but we're really blessed today to have a man of words. He exemplifies, and his work exemplifies, our vitamin for today, zealousness. Our guest is Tom Crogwell, and I say thank you for coming on Catholic Vitamins, Tom.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Deacon Tom. Thanks so much for the invitation. It's an honor.
Oh, bless you. Bless you. Well, I have a screen here in front of me, and it says that you were involved in a 4-year doctoral program studying medieval English literature. You've been a copywriter for Book of the Month Club. I used to give them some money. Marketing director. And at some point, you decided, my words can earn me a living directly, and you've
you set out on that course. I see here that you've discussed saints and the canonization process and Catholic history on CNN and EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. We are just so blessed to have somebody of your caliber come on our show.
You're going to make me blush.
Okay.
But I've been fortunate. You know, I've been self-employed for 19 years now, and God has been very good to me.
Awesome. And to me as well, one of the greatest gifts other than faith and marriage has been to become a deacon. So I'm really blessed as well. I'm glad you see God's blessing in your life. Tom, your name may be new, although you have a lot of credentials and success with words. Your name may be new, so why don't we start at the beginning and tell us about young Tom before he became the Tom of today.
Okay. I was born and grew up in Chicago, Illinois, on the north side at St. Alphonsus Parish. I had the same nun in first grade that my grandmother had in first grade.
Wow.
And both my grandmother and our mutual teacher, Sister Donata, were great storytellers, especially storytellers of the saints, and that's where I got hooked. And I've been reading, and then later, you know, as I matured, studying the lives of the saints for about 25, 30 years now. In fifth grade, Sister Patricia Thomas called in my mother and complained that I knew the stories of more saints than she did. Which, she was right, but it was, you know, still a little case of professional rivalry, no hard feelings.
Uh-huh.
What would Sister say now?
Yes, amen. Siblings?
I have two younger sisters, and a niece and a nephew, and we're all here now because of the storm on the East Coast that hit Saturday, knocked out our power. So we've all refugeed to our parents' house in New Jersey, and it's sort of like a week long of Christmas. Oh. Everybody's packed into the house.
Oh. Well, by the time this show is edited and posted, you may be back to normal weather and back to your normal environs. But blessings and enjoy the time together with family there. Thank you for stepping away and getting into a quiet corner someplace.
No, I'm happy to have the quiet corner, and I'm sure that they're happy to have a little more shoulder room.
All right. Well, so that was youth and growing up in the Chicago area. Where did you go to college?
To Montclair State in New Jersey, and I have a master's from NYU.
Great, great. What were you setting out to do? I mean, I've already thumbnailed some of what you did, but what were you setting out to do?
Well, you know, when I was in grammar school and in high school, my teachers told me that I wasn't a bad writer, but I just thought of that as a skill. I didn't think of it as a way to make a living. So I thought what I would do actually was I was planning to become a lawyer. I discovered when I took the LSATs that I really stunk.
Oh.
So there was no prayer of getting into law school. So I went into publishing, and that's when I discovered, well, people actually will pay somebody for writing. And little by little, I built up a sort of a client base by moonlighting. And in 1992, I felt that I had enough contacts that I could actually go out on my own, and that's what I've been doing ever since.
Mm. Well, you know, your website, which is Tom Craughwell, that's CRAUGHWELL.com, and we'll put a link to that and anything else you'd like us to link to in our show notes. Your website says that books is the first entry, then websites, articles, direct mail, catalogs, press releases, and then the catch-all, you name it.
Yeah, if you're going to try to make a living as a writer, you better not specialize.
Uh-huh.
Being a generalist is the best way to go, because you never know what type of writing job is going to come down the road. You know, just 2 weeks ago, I finished writing three little quiz books for a publisher. Now, you know, they weren't especially interesting projects, to be frank with you, but they pay the bills. you can't think of this as some type of it's not an art. It's more of a trade.
Oh. listeners to Catholic Vitamins will have heard this before, but there is a place called Madonna House up in Canada, started by Catherine Doherty, the late Catherine Doherty. She's being looked at for sainthood by the Catholic Church. An interesting woman, former Russian, almost nobility, and they fled during the Russian Revolution. But her husband, a second husband for her, was Eddie Doherty, who happened to be a newspaper man, a man of words. And on his cross, where he is buried, a simple white cross, is the legend, "All My Words for the Word."
Oh, great.
Isn't that beautiful?
Beautiful epitaph.
Yeah, amen. I would love some of that myself, although I should not say that to you because I defer to a successful man of words. I have two places. One is in the church when I, you know, proclaim the gospel and preach from time to time, and then here on this podcast. But enough about me. So our topic is zealousness, and I can tell from the early moments of our time together that, you know, there's an excitement for words and projects with you. Tell us about your books.
Well, they're like the rest of my work, but they're all over the map. And I don't want to sound like I'm bragging, because, you know, don't think of me that way. Think of me more as a machine. I've turned out about 30 books.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're on all kinds of topics. History, such as Stealing Lincoln's Body, which is about a plot in 1876 when some Irish counterfeiters tried to hold the body for ransom, and they almost got away with it. And then, of course, there's books on popular culture, a lot of books, on urban legends. There's also, then, of course, my Catholic books, which are things like Saints Behaving Badly and Saints Preserved, which is a collection of entries on relics that came out in July. And then on All Saints Day, there was a new book called This Saint Will Change Your Life, and it's 300 patron saints, and for each patron saint, there's a full-color reproduction of an antique holy card. So it's a fun book, and it's also a gorgeous book. The designer did a fantastic job.
Hmm. Well, I have a certain zealousness for some saints, but I am really intrigued, and I'll have to admit that I have not had the pleasure of reading your work. I'm intrigued first by Saints Behaving Badly. What's that about?
Well, it's the stories of 28 saints who had very unsaintly beginnings. I like to call them the depravity all-stars. You know, everyone always says, oh, well, you have St. Augustine in there, don't you? And yes, St. Augustine is in the book, but compared to some of the other people in it, when it came to sinning, St. Augustine was an underachiever. There are so many people who were much worse, and yet, you know, they're on the calendar.
I've got it. I will definitely set my sights on getting that book. The book approach would be to thumbnail a number of saints. If you said a number, I'd let it get away, and they all sort of started not very saintly and progressed to full sainthood. Is that?
Yeah, exactly. The theme of the book, the theme of each story, is that no matter where you start out, or no matter how far you've sunk, because some of these saints were raised Catholic, and you know, but you really couldn't tell. When you have that conversion experience, first of all, you have to recognize it's not magic. Conversion is very difficult. It always is. And these people had a very difficult time, too. St. Camillus de Lellis, for example, was a mercenary and a card sharp and a gambler and a con man. And several times he tried to turn his life around, and he had this backsliding problem, as our evangelical Protestants call it.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, he persisted. That's the other secret. It's not only conversion. It's also persistence. It's turning to God, asking for his grace, because you're not going to accomplish anything without it, and keeping at it. And eventually, these people manage to turn their lives around, and not only turn their lives around and become good Christians, but become saints. Mm-hmm. So if these guys can make it, there's hope for all of us.
Well, I had previously mentioned Catherine Doherty, and she was a feisty woman, and I can't use the words here on a Catholic podcast, but the letters for the words that she used to say were BS, and they had the dickens of a time getting her to break this habit. She had it for like 25 or 30 years. Every time something went wrong or somebody said something she didn't agree with, she'd come out with that. And her spiritual advisor was working for a long time to tone her down, but she is now being considered for sainthood. So if you ever do round two, you might consider Catherine Doherty.
Good one to know.
Yeah. Now tell us about Saints Preserved.
Well, Saints Preserved, you know, if you become a student of the saints, which I suppose I am, you're going to become interested in pilgrimages and shrines and relics. And so for a few years now, I've wanted to do a book on relics, locating where they are, telling you, you know, where can you find them, and then giving a little bit of the history of the relic, if we're talking about, say, the True Cross, or giving a capsule biography of the saint, in the case of a saint's relic. And so Doubleday Image Books asked me to put this together, I guess it was a year and a half ago, and it came out this summer. There's about 350 entries. They're the ones that you'd expect to find there, the 12 apostles and the True Cross and the Shroud of Turin. But I also wanted to put in some little-known relics, some especially interesting ones that probably people hadn't heard of. There are also the relics of all of the American saints and blesseds. And it turned out pretty nicely. It's an encyclopedia. It's an A to Z format. The publisher included 20 photographs, which look great. You know, we all would have liked more, but the cost of reproducing images these days sort of sometimes restricts us. But it's off to a rousing start, and I'm happy that it's finally out.
Wow, are you into traveling and talking or speaking? Doing?
Oh yeah, I do that quite a lot.
Yeah.
For any variety of my books, I would have to say that actually most of the speaking invitations that I get have been for Stealing Lincoln's Body, or another book that I wrote on the Irish Brigade during the Civil War. The Civil War crowd in the United States is huge, and they are big readers and great book buyers, and they all belong to little local organizations, most of them called Civil War Roundtables. So I've gotten quite a few invitations to go and address them, and that's always a lot of fun. There's nothing quite like meeting the readers.
Amen. Amen. Our guest on Catholic Vitamins is Tom Crogwell, and we're talking about his zealousness for words, and I'm intrigued by the Lincoln's Body book. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, this actually happened. This is a true story. In 1876, there were this gang of Irish counterfeiters in Illinois, and their engraver had gotten arrested and sent into prison for 10 years. And they needed the engraver to keep the counterfeiting business running, and they didn't have any political muscle in Springfield to convince the governor to grant this guy a pardon. So they decided to pressure the governor by stealing the body of Abraham Lincoln and holding it for ransom. And they almost got away with it. So it's a wild and wacky story. The Secret Service agents, because in those days the Secret Service did not protect the president, the Secret Service tracked down counterfeiters. The Secret Service agents were fairly hapless. The grave robbers were even worse. It's a real comedy of errors. Sort of a there's a Keystone Cops slapstick element to the story that still makes me laugh when I think about it.
Well, gosh, what a great series of books we've talked about so far that would be great as Christmas gifts. And we're talking, as I said a few moments ago, with Tom Crogwell, and we'll put a link to his website. I also noticed that you have a blog. What are you doing on your blog?
Actually, I haven't posted on it in years. With all the other writing that I do just to pay the bills, blogging, the time just isn't there.
Sure.
So there is no blog.
Okay. All right. So if people are interested or intrigued by what they've heard so far, How will people get in contact with you to find out about bringing you out to a parish or a chancery or something?
Well, you know, the easiest thing is to fire off an email. My email is Crogwell, Crauguell, @AOL.com. So, you know, send off an email and we'll figure out the arrangements. I'd be delighted to come.
Before we leave the subject of the books on saints, because our topic is zealousness, in either the ones that went through conversion or reversion or just any of the other saints that you've worked on, any that really stand out for their zealousness?
Oh, gosh, yes. One of the worst was Saint Vladimir, who was the prince of Kiev in what's now the Ukraine. Vladimir's grandmother was pretty bad, and yet, you know, she became a saint, Olga. But Vladimir, I think, was trying to exceed her. He practiced human sacrifice. He had 7 wives. He had 600 concubines.
Oh, my.
Yes, the man was the man was not exactly holy card material. And yet, when he wanted to marry a Byzantine princess, you know who's Easternite Catholic, and the princess absolutely refused unless he got rid of the wives, the concubines, and became baptized, and he agreed. But everyone thought it was going to be pro forma. And by the miracle of the sacrament, he was actually converted. He was truly transformed. And he's packing up to go back to Kiev with his new wife, the princess, and he's calling for priests and deacons and bishops and icons and sacred scripture and relics and everything necessary to get Christianity planted in his country. He starts founding churches and monasteries and hospitals. He put together sort of what we would call needles on wheels, wagons rolling through the streets to feed the poor and the invalids. And then he did something which was completely unheard of in the 11th century. He abolished the death sentence. Everybody believed in the death penalty in the 11th century. Mm-hmm. And the bishops and priests and deacons who had come up with him from Constantinople could not believe that this barbarian had turned into this saintly figure, zealous to promote the faith and convert his entire nation, which he just about did before he died.
Gosh, how exciting is that?
Yeah. Well,
definitely an example of zealousness. And, you know, folks, for those listening, if you have perhaps seen words in the Wall Street Journal or our Sunday Visitor from Tom Crogwell, you're now hearing the person who just has a great zest or zealousness for words and for bringing stories forward. What are you working on for a little bit later release?
Well, actually, I'm working on another history book right now. And it's about how Thomas Jefferson and one of his slaves brought French cuisine to the United States. He was sent to France as our ambassador, and he'd never tasted French cuisine, but he'd read about it. And he decided he wanted it. So he brought along this 19-year-old slave named James Hemings, and he made him a deal that if he learned French cuisine and then came back to Monticello and taught one of the other slaves, Jefferson would free him. And so I don't know if they shook hands, but they had an arrangement. James mastered French cuisine in Paris, came back to Monticello, taught his brother how to cook it, and Jefferson set him free. And among the things that James Hemings and Thomas Jefferson introduced to the United States are what we call now creme brulee and mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese.
Amazing, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Our guest on Catholic Vitamins has been Tom Crogwell, and I have looked forward to this time together, and I just haven't been disappointed. It's so exciting to talk to someone that has this zealousness for his work and for some of the people that he tells us about in his books. I know you have your own website, and people could reach you there. You're probably available on Amazon and elsewhere.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep. Type in Crogwell on Amazon, and you might be surprised by what pops up.
Amen. Tom Crogwell, we appreciate so much your time joining us on Catholic Vitamin Z for Zealousness, and we'll keep you in our prayers.
Thank you so much, Deacon Tom. It's been a real pleasure. I've had such a good time.
Back from our time with our special interview with Tom Crogwell, and I just want to say, Dee, that I was saddened to learn, you know, I with joy in my heart, I was looking forward to redoing this interview sort of as a best of something we've done in the past several years ago, and I found out that unexpectedly, at the age of 61, young Tom Crogwell passed away. And I can't find any information about what caused his passing, but he leaves behind a legacy of 30 books or more, and a lot of people that he's talked with. And everybody that met him said that he was just a wonderful, great social person, good to be with, and loved being with people. So we'll miss him, and I'm looking forward to receiving the two books that I ordered from his collection of writings that he's done on a lot of different subjects. Dear.
I was just going to bring up the subject of our Faith Travelers group again that we meet regularly every couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mentioned that in the previous segment of the show.
And we're still continuing watching the Mass with Father or Bishop Robert Barron.
It's a wonderful series. I'll be honest with you, after we had done the Catholicism series, and then we did
Pivotal Players.
I thought, you know, it was time for a break, moving on to some other great speakers and teachers and whatever, but
He's so good.
He really, really is, and they do a wonderful job. I can't remember the fellow's first name, Leonard. He's the sort of producer for the Bishop Barron series, and he used to be involved with the CBS Sunday morning show.
Oh.
And we have always pretty much liked the...
You're right. I remember somebody named Leonard.
Yeah. And he was a nominal Catholic. And I saw a little blip that he did that he, you know, he went to Mass on Easter and Christmas and maybe a few other mm-hmm. times. But he was chosen to take on this role with then Father Barron. Mm-hmm. And he said one series with Father Barron, and his heart was turned, and he became an on-fire Catholic.
Is it Mike Leonard?
I think that sounds right. That sounds good. Yep. Yeah, I think that's who it is. Well, you were mentioning our Faith Travelers, and we're doing the Mass. And that sort of reminds me that our place for doing this is the Breath of Life Retreat House in Pine,
Arizona.
Dear friends, if you have a desire to own a wonderful, wonderful property in the Pines of Pine, Arizona, up about 6,000 feet above sea level, cooler, lovelier, and whatever.
Wildlife around you all the time.
Oh, yes, yes. So we've been meeting there for years, and Candy and Jim have put their place up for sale. They're going to be involved in some other activities, and they've had some good showings of the Breath of Life Retreat House, but it will take a special person, and I think what we should do is we should probably get the link to the property, and we'll put it on the face page for the show.
Okay.
So that, if Candy Bridges happens to listen to this episode, you do not have to pay us a commission. Just fix us some of your wonderful cooking. All right, dear. I think we're ready to take another you know, a momentary pause in our direction. Talk about zealous. We have a fellow who is zealous about the faith and about the Holy Spirit. His name is Tom Beale, and he's begun to do some reflections on the Holy Spirit for our KPIH radio station, and I wanted to play them on Catholic Vitamins because I think this is a message that needs to be spread further than just our local north central Arizona community. So we'll take that break, and then Tom and Dee will be back.
KTIH Rim Catholic Radio is proud to bring you Holy Spirit Moments with Phoenix lay evangelist Tom Beal.
Hi, I'm Tom Beal. comeholyghost@gmail.com. Back in 1899, Pope Leo XIII consecrated the 20th century to the Holy Spirit, praying, Veni Creator Spiritus, come, Holy Spirit. In 1962, Pope St. John the 23rd prayed, Holy Spirit, renew your wonders in our time as though for a new Pentecost. And then, in 1967, a group of college students on retreat near Pittsburgh dramatically and profoundly experienced the Spirit in a new and joyful zeal for God, and they also unexpectedly prayed in tongues, a Pentecost moment. We call this experience baptism in the Holy Spirit, for them and millions of Catholics since. But what is baptism in the Spirit? An eighth sacrament? Father Raniero Cantalamessa, homilist to three popes, explains, the baptism in the Spirit is not a sacrament, but it is related to renewing sacraments of Christian initiation. This experience, called the baptism in the Spirit, we believe makes real and revitalizes our baptism. Pope St. John Paul II notes that baptism confers both a grace and a capacity for grace, which may later be activated through the actions of the Spirit in cooperation of the person. As St. Augustine said, the one who created you without your cooperation will not save without your cooperation. Dr. Mary Healy, Catholic seminary professor, co-authored the Spiritual Gifts Handbook, which explains baptism in the Spirit as an activation or coming alive of what was received in faith at baptism, an experience of the Spirit subsequent to baptism, or a refreshed coming of the Spirit into a person's life, often for a new mission or calling. I recall many experiences or baptisms of the Spirit in my own life. Confirmation, sitting alone once in the family room, or on retreat where I first prayed my adult surrender to God and was soon overwhelmed with the peace and joy of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Whatever your experience, let's pray together now. Come, Holy Spirit, baptize me anew. Fill me, lead me, send me. Come, I'm yours. Amen.
Well, I bet Tom Beal, when he volunteered for his very underpaid job on KPIH doing reflections about the Holy Spirit, did not know that he would be heard on the World Wide Web, but we are very pleased to share his inspiration about the Holy Spirit and about the baptism of the Spirit and things which he'll get into and further reflections. He's a wonderful lay evangelist from down in the Phoenix Valley. I've been around him for two or three conferences, and he has a lot of respect in the charismatic community down in the Phoenix Valley.
Hey, I was just looking at the calendar, and I realized that next week, next Saturday, we, if all goes as planned, we're supposed to be guests on the Let's Talk podcast put out by SQPN.
Well, that's interesting. Tom and Dee are going to be guests on somebody else's show. They must be down at the bottom of the barrel, for heaven's sakes. I didn't know that.
Well, this is a reboot. Let's Talk is a podcast that used to be on, and now they've rebooted it.
And who's the host?
Well, this time around, it's Father Corey.
Oh, my. Didn't you say you met him?
I did.
Where did you meet him?
Atlanta.
So, dear friends, if you really have nothing else to do next weekend on Saturday.
Because they live stream it, so.
Yeah, it's on the 18th, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so I think it's 11 o'clock East Coast time.
That sounds right, yeah. And if you happen to be logged on to the SQPN site, you could vote the segment that has Deacon Tom and Dee as the whatever. Well, dear friends, we have been promoting a little idea that we called Hot Off the Presses. We have had some wonderful books that publishers have provided to us. The good folks at Word Among Us Press gave us courtesy copies of the new book by Father Simon Lobo of the Companions of the Cross. He was our guest last week on Catholic Vitamins, and his book is called Divine Renovation Apprentice, Learning to Lead a Disciple-Making Parish. So you do not have to be a bishop. You do not have to be a pastor. This book, I'm enjoying reading this. It's on my nightstand, and every evening I try to take another idea from the short reflections that Father Lobo has written. Some of them would require priests to come to a new point of view, but that's really why this is called Divine Renovation. Dear.
I have in my hand, I think this may be the last one we have, do you think?
No, I got some more.
Really? You're going to be hiding these.
Then. Yes, all right.
Well, this is a CD. The title is Holy Shock by Rosalind Moss, who is better known these days as Mother Miriam.
Yes, she is.
So this is her conversion story.
She's on KPIH, RIM Catholic Radio, our local Catholic radio station. She's also on the Stations of the Cross radio network out of the Northeast, and it's through a complimentary relationship with that network that we're able to have right. Mother Miriam on our station. So we're very grateful to them. If you would like a CD absolutely free from Deacon Tom and Dee, or if you'd like Divine Renovation Apprentice, the new book, the wonderful book by Father Simon Lobo, send your request to catholicvitamins@gmail.com and just give us your contact information. If Dee draws your name at the end of this little promotion period, we'll be glad to send you a copy of this.
You'll still have a week or two to do this, so if you're listening after we publish the show, you'll still have time.
Yes.
Go ahead and send your request in.
I think there's going to be a kind of a hiatus between this episode and then our one where we kick off the new alphabet series, starting with vitamin A.
And, so you definitely will have time.
And I'll just say this, dear friends, you know, you invest a lot of money to keep Catholic Vitamins on the air. And we have an exciting opportunity, and this is God willing, an exciting opportunity. We're going to be interviewing an actress, a Catholic actress, for our next show. And she's had a real enlivening experience in her life, and so we want to share that with our listeners. We're going to play Justin Stroh. You know, this idea of zealousness has me kind of fired up. And we haven't played Justin Stroh in a long time, so we're going to play his song, I Like Being a Catholic.
What about you?
Yes, I do.
All right, now. I got the fullness things of the faith, hey, I ain't no fool.
Day that would be music that you would not normally hear on Catholic Vitamins or on our Rim Catholic Radio, but Justin Stroh is zealous for our Catholic faith.
Because he had to do something fun.
Listen, in his song, he mentioned World Youth Day 93.
Yes.
Well, while we were not in Colorado living there at that time, we have had many experiences that have been shared with us. And I was reading in the Denver Catholic newspaper, found on denvercatholic.org, I was reading about the impact of World Youth Day. This was written in one part from the experience of the people in the media that covered it. One of the media people said it was such a melding of humanity in a way in which violence and upset and discord and all that seemed to be set aside. It was a time of great peace. They say crime was almost non-existent during that weekend. And then I read a little further on, Dee, that when the Holy Father came into the baseball stadium, what's the name of the stadium? I'm having a mental block. Mile High Stadium. When he came in
football,
to their
football.
When he came into the stadium, he saw 100,000 young people, mostly young people, and they said that he had tears running down his cheek. It makes me tender that he had tears running down his cheek at how what an outpouring there was of young people. And then you and I were just looking at some words that were shared from priests of the Archdiocese of Denver. Let's see, one was a priest who's now involved in, what was it? He's involved in religious vocations. Let me see if I can pull that up. Here it is here. Father Tobias Rodriguez Lassa. He's the rector of Redemptoris Mater Seminary in Denver. And he said, with a good job, money, vacations, a girlfriend, and a brand new red sports car at age 29, young Tobias was not interested in the priesthood. He'd been to other World Youth Days from his native country of Spain, didn't feel like going to the one in Denver. Two things changed his mind. A good number of people from his parish were going, and he felt empty. And by World Youth Day 93, I had everything society says you need to have a fulfilled life, but I was in a personal crisis with a deep feeling that something had to change. That's what this priest, Father Tobias, said. Without knowing, God had already stirred something in his heart. To my surprise, God was waiting for me here at World Youth Day, and he called loud and clear.
Loud and clear.
Yeah. Well, dear friends, you can tell that we are zealous for the faith, and we enjoy sharing our faith with you and any who happen to tune in accidentally. This Catholic Vitamins program is the end of this vitamin cycle, Vitamin Z for Zealousness, show number 2. And we are going to be starting up with the, what did you say, the 15th
round of the alphabet.
15th round of the alphabet. We're looking forward to bringing that to those who have been with us a long time or anybody new that happens to find us.
So even though we're going to stretch this out for a week or two before we start that new vitamin A.
Yes.
Do we still want to give a clue?
Yeah, why don't we do that? Sure.
Okay. That clue for vitamin A will be A ends in E, 6 letters. A word that starts with A ends in E and has 6 letters. If you'd like to take a guess, just send your guess to catholicvitamins@gmail.com.
We promise that there is always some follow-through if your name is pulled. We've sent out more things over the years, ranging from sweet treats to CDs to DVDs to books. And it's part of our joy of sharing the Catholic Vitamin Show and the faith that we espouse. So I guess that'll be it for now with Deacon Tom and Dee. We will look forward to seeing you as we begin the next round of Catholic Vitamins.
Bye.
Prayer for the United States. God our Father, giver of life, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. You are the rock on which this nation was founded. You alone are the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Reclaim this land for your glory and dwell among your people. Send your spirit to touch the hearts of our nation's leaders. Open their minds to the great worth of human life and the responsibilities that accompany human freedom.
Remind your people that true happiness is rooted in seeking and doing your will through the intercession of
Mary Immaculate, patroness of our land. Grant us the courage to reject the culture of death. Lead us into a new millennium of life. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins.
So here.